Chapter 33, Location, Ruth's Bedroom. Nimbus noticed that Ruth looked friendly when he drifted in, so he tried to look as angelic and cute as possible, as she motioned him to come closer. "Hi, Ruth. You look so refreshed. How are you feeling?"
"Cloud, never ask a dying person how they are feeling. I am very tired, I am."
She adjusted the oxygen tube in her nose. "Oh, of course you are, but you kind of don't look like you're dying just yet." He floated closer and adjusted his glasses.
"Well, I am. Just give me time."
She crossed her arms over her chest and added,
"So, what great words of wisdom do you have to impart, seeing that you are a close personal friend of the Archangel and Jesus, no doubt?"
"Well, I haven't had the pleasure to travel to that realm to meet the trio, and am sure I never will. You see, you have to be a seraphim, which is way up on the angelic hierarchy, but Archangel Michael sends his best."
"Is that right?"
Ruth said and threw a stack of magazines on the floor. "So, what's with the sourpuss attitude?" Nimbus asked. "Did Megan serve you grapefruit without sugar for breakfast this morning?" Ruth bellowed and coughed. Then she smiled, shaking a bony finger at Nimbus.
"That was totally unexpected. I'm thinking holiness and reverence, and you blindsided me with a funny."
She took several breaths while Nimbus held his. He waited until she motioned that she was fine before he continued. "Well, life's too short to waste words."
I like that. I do," she said. "Can you go to the end of my bed? I can see you better, and we can talk about why I am here. Or why you are here. Why are you here?"
Okay, sure," Nimbus said and arranged himself in his favorite crib mattress shape at the foot of her bed. He smiled sweetly. "Want to talk about your beliefs and what you're afraid of when you die?"
Life is too short to be wasting words, it is."
Ruth took some short breaths as the oxygen machine next to her bed pumped away with its hissing sound. Nimbus watched her and couldn't imagine what she must be feeling. He felt himself soften and turn a gentle pink.
"No, Nimbus, dear, I am fresh out of beliefs, other than I am going to die, and all will go dark, and that will be that."
"Oh, you believe in what the Chavakas in Hinduism believe. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. The end is the end. Period. Final. Right?" Nimbus took a calming breath and forged ahead. "Then you're an atheist."
No, what? I still believe in the Creator, I do."
"Oh, great. Now we are getting somewhere. You were kind of stressed out when I mentioned Archangel Michael. He really is the coolest angel you could ever meet. He always guides me, and if I pass this assignment, I will be an official angel's angel, level one, and get to see other infinite possibilities like time travel, meeting other archangels, even
stop!"
Ruth raised her hand and Nimbus froze. She coughed a few times, then looked at Nimbus.
Then there really is a beautiful place when I die?"
She took some breaths and tried to settle herself. Then she dropped her head into her hands. Nimbus realized that he needed to slow down and wait patiently until Ruth looked up at him to continue. She apparently was stable, so he decided to keep telling her what he knew.
Nobody really knows for sure," he continued. "But when the angels came to get Floyd,
They were really nice and kind, and he was so okay to go with them in the end. He must have been feeling something great.
Floyd, the old trucker that screwed up his son, right? And the angel still took him?
Yes, but he didn't really screw him up. It was Ricky who screwed himself up. Floyd saw his own flaws in the end and took responsibility, and everything turned out all right. You see, only you are the one that judges yourself.
Go on,
she said, laying her head back on the pillow and closing her eyes. Well, all I know is that if you face your fears and see that you did the best you could...
But I didn't, she interrupted.
Well, maybe you did and maybe you didn't, but if you feel you didn't, there's still time, Nimbus added quickly.
Is there?
Ruth, that's why I'm here, to help you be at peace when you die. Nimbus forced back the tears when he saw tears run out of the sides of her closed eyes. Ruth took a breath and said,
I used to be an Episcopalian, but stopped believing when my son died. He was only 5 years old, but born in Cardiff before Megan. She never knew of him, so don't tell her.
Oh, no, of course not. Oh, that must have been very hard. Could you tell me what happened?
A heavy gate fell on him when we were out fixing fences. I didn't see him wander off, and when he tried to climb that gate, it pulled away from the post and pinned him to the ground. The heavy top bar of the gate, it crushed his throat.
Oh, that is so terrible, Ruth, Nimbus said. I am so sorry.
No one knows, and I want to keep it that way, I do.
Just don't worry about it. It'll just be you and me and Michael. We'll be the only ones that ever know, Nimbus said. Then he smiled sweetly at Ruth. And Ruth smiled back. Please, Nimbus said, could you go on?
We were living in a capital of Wales in the south and moved to Port Marion shortly after the funeral. My husband was in tourism and had no trouble finding another job, but it didn't last long. He always blamed me and moved back to Cardiff a year later. He never knew I was pregnant with Megan.
Why didn't you tell him?
He had found someone else, and I was informed I would be receiving the divorce papers in the near future.
She opened her eyes and reached for a tissue, then dabbed her eyes.
So I quit the church and stopped believing. However, I still thought it important to have Megan baptized, you know. I did.
Yes, of course. Are you still okay to go on? Ruth coughed several times and nodded, then continued.
I raised Megan the best I could. Then she met this American businessman in the art world, and I was hopeful she would be happier than me, I was. But I know she's already told you the rest of the story. Did she?
Yes, and that story includes how much she loves you and how she wishes she could help you or at least talk to you without so much anger.
I don't want to be a bother, Ruth said. She came here without asking, and she is going to ruin her life with all her fussing. I am going to die. I can't stand to watch her. Watch me die.
She cried for a moment, then added,
we both are suffering so. So I just get mad.
Like a mother bear biting her young to get them to leave?
Oh, that's not the half of it. I want to say goodbye to all my special memories. But it will hurt us both too much, it will.
Ruth wheezed and coughed and blew her nose.
I'm sorry, Nimbus. Can you get Megan to bring me my medicine? I am feeling I need to rest.
Oh, of course, Ruth. Nimbus rolled into a ball and sailed for the door.
Thank you, Nimbus. Mum's the word. You promised.
Trust is my middle name, Nimbus said tearfully and departed looking for Megan. As Nimbus lingered in the kitchen with Megan, he told her about Ruth's faith and that he thought it would be a good idea for the priest of the Episcopal Church to pay Ruth a call. Maybe he could help her feel more at peace with her passing. I know she used to be an Episcopalian. Apparently, I was baptized at that church. Yes, Nimbus said. Megan picked up the wall telephone in the kitchen. I think you have a fantastic idea, Nimbus, Megan said. I'll call and see if he can meet with me tomorrow morning. Great, Nimbus puffed up a little and headed out to get some air. I'll ring the Levines, too, she called after him. The next day, Megan returned after lunch with Father Prickett. She introduced him to the Levines as Nimbus hovered unnoticed at the ceiling. I'm going to make us all some tea, Megan said as she headed for the kitchen. She looked back at Nimbus and jerked her head to follow. You need to break the news to Mom, she whispered, closing the kitchen door. Is it time? No, not that news. It's not her last rites. Just a get-together to discuss what she wants, Megan said, getting cups out of the cupboard. Will Ruth and Father Prickett be alone? Of course, but you can hover high at the ceiling, can't you? Yes, I suppose I can. Nimbus didn't see anything wrong with that. Ruth might welcome his presence. He stayed high at the ceiling, drifting past the guests down the hall and into Ruth's room without anyone noticing. They all were still chatting when Megan brought in the tea. Hi, Ruth, Nimbus said, floating in.
Have the Levines left yet? Oh, they so wore me out,
Ruth said softly. She laid her head back on the pillow. They're still here. They are talking to this amazing man on the differences in their religions. He's a Christian priest, and they're Jewish, and it's so fun to hover above and hear what they're having to say. They both laughed, and Ruth closed her eyes. Would it be okay for a short visit from this man? He's from the Episcopal Church down the road, and he's looking quite friendly. I only told Megan about you because you told me that you were an Episcopalian. I had to tell her something when she asked if you felt better about passing on. Was that a bad thing?
She already knew that I was an Episcopalian. I told her that she was baptized in that church.
Megan told me that she went to visit the old church and met the new guy, Father Prickett, Nimbus said.
Father Prickett? That's funny. Prickets are candlestick holders on an altar. They are.
Seriously? Oh, that is funny.
Send him in, Ruth said with a sigh. I'm fading fast, and no, I don't mean dying.
Can I stay up high and thin? That might be a good idea in case I start throwing things. Ruth chuckled and then closed her eyes again. Megan was at the door and Nimbus gave a go-ahead with a nod, then thinned out and floated over to the far corner near the window. Soon Father Prickett was at Ruth's side with a warm smile. He took her hand.
"Hello, Ruth," he said calmly.
"So, Father, here to save my soul, are we?"
Ruth opened her eyes and tried to smile, but she was not ready to trust just yet.
"I wish I could take the credit, but I hear you already saved, dear Ruth."
I am?
Ruth said with a slight smile.
"I heard it whispered to me on my way to your house."
"I did."
"Oh, and that's good, is it?"
They both were silent for a moment, and then she said,
"Do I need to write a check to be buried in the church cemetery?"
They both chuckled.
"I believe you were once a member.
The old church records show that your daughter was baptized at our church."
Then he smiled and patted her hand.
"So you don't have to buy your way in,
although a contribution would be very nice."
"I think I'll think about it," she said with a twinkle in her eye.
Nimbus listened as they talked about the old priest and his problems and her reasons for leaving. He was hoping she would spill the beans and talk about her secret, but those beans were already on the way out of the bag with Father's bold question.
"Did you forget your son was moved to our church before your husband left?"
"What?"
Ruth jerked up and pulled the oxygen tube out of her nose.
"Be calm now," he said and patted her arm.
He put the oxygen tube back.
"No one knows anything about it, but I found his name and wondered if you were related. The old secretary, Agnes, told me the story, so that is why I'm here to talk to you about it."
"Oh, please. Megan doesn't know. She had a brother. When was the body moved?"
"Just before your husband left. Agnes said you were grieving so that you were unable to come to the burial."
"But I'm thinking that there's more to the story, right?"
Ruth took a few breaths and began telling him the whole story. Nimbus was happy that her boy was buried at the church, but sad that she had to tell the whole thing again.
"That is a very sad story, Ruth."
"But with a very good ending," Father Prickett said.
"It is it?"
Ruth suddenly was feeling stronger. She sat up with Father's help.
You will be buried with your son.
Won't that be a miracle after all you've been through?"
"But what about Megan? I've lied to her all these years, and I have."
"Ah, oh, dear Ruth, the truth will set you free," Father Prickett said. "I will leave you here to get some rest. You have a final mission ahead of you, don't you?"
Aye, Father,
she said, laying back and smiling.
"Thank ye.
May God be with ye, dear child. I will see you when your final day has come."
"Aye, thank ye."
Ruth closed her eyes. Nimbus watched as the man left the room. It appeared that Ruth was at peace. She was breathing better, and her color was surprisingly colorful. Had he saved her life?